This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Awaiting a passenger revolt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It'll be interesting to see whether people start pushing back against the airlines. Just before this holiday weekend, the big carriers raised ticket prices again for the 11th time this year. American is going to charge people to check their first bag, and other airlines may follow. And U.S. Airways says it's doing away with the pretzels starting next weekend. All that, and you can't even get where you're going on time. Americans wasted 320 million hours last year on flight delays. That cost the economy $40 billion, according to one estimate. And that has caught the attention of Congress. Elisa Roth looks at what Congress could even do.
Flying a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon, or heaven forbid, on a holiday weekend, and you know exactly what the problem is.
The real issue is planes being scheduled to take off and land when there's not enough time or space to do it.
Roger King is an airline industry analyst. He says there are so many planes and so little airport infrastructure that the options for fixing the problems are actually pretty limited. One possibility is better use of GPS.
There'd be greater certainty as to where each plane is, and therefore you could fly them closer together.
There's also talk of expanding smaller airports to take pressure off the big ones. But really, King says the best option is for the government to limit the number of flights.
If they would restrict the number of takeoff and landings, it would result in higher fares, and it would also probably prompt the airlines over time to put bigger airplanes in each landing.
That could work for the airlines. A bigger plane costs more to fly than a smaller one, but per seat, it's actually cheaper. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Airlines shares are just getting hammered right now. Then again, the price of oil is taking down all kinds of stocks. In Japan today, the Nikkei had its biggest loss in 6 weeks, a drop of 2.3%. Elsewhere in Asia, stocks fell 1.5%. Oil's trading at about $133 a barrel this morning. Wall Street and London have the day off. Friday, the Dow fell 150 points to wrap up Wall Street's worst week in 3 months. The Dow is at 12,479. The stock market could really use the traditional summer rally this year. Or wait, is that an old wives' tale? I forget.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Good thing we have Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Well, Mr. Sloan, is there anything to the summer rally?
Well, if you look at the numbers, you would discover that in the months of July and August, the market goes up far more than it goes down. And in June, it's roughly 50-50, whether it goes up or down, the Dow. I don't think the market cares what season it is, because in fact, for 10 months of the year, the Dow historically has gone up more often than it's gone down. There are only 2 months when it hasn't. So, I mean, you can have a seasonal rally pretty much in any season, but people have picked on summer.
But is there any reasonable basis for these numbers?
Oh, no. And then there's a counter myth, just to confuse us more. Have you ever heard the line, sell in May and go away?
Yes, of course.
I mean, and that doesn't really make any sense either, but it sounds good.
But there is some statistical basis for what happens in September, isn't there?
Right. September, the odds are that stocks will go down. Now, that doesn't happen every September, because if it happened every September, then everybody would know about this and it would stop happening. But historically, September has been the worst month of the year for the Dow. I mean, those are the only numbers I have, because the Dow is what you analyze when you're being playful. The S&P is what you analyze when you're being serious. And the analyses you see are largely playful. So, I mean, maybe it should be – does anything rhyme with August? I mean, maybe sell in August and
Maybe that should be the new one. Well, I think if you're basing your stock market investing on astrological signs, you might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's generally not the way to do it. Though I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm sure that's good.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
I know some people take issue with this conclusion, but a report out this morning says fishing around the world is maxed out. The report comes from the environmental group Oceana. Several developing countries have a big problem with this situation. From our sustainability desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The report finds 85% of the world's fisheries is either fished to capacity or facing collapse. But as the World Trade Organization moves to eliminate subsidies to expand fishing fleets, China, India, and Indonesia want an exemption. They argue they should be able to grow their fleets through subsidies just as the industrialized world did. Mike Hirschfield is Oceana's chief scientist.
It would be one thing if there were still more fish out there waiting to be caught. But as our study shows, there really is no room for expansion.
Hirschfield says subsidized fishing is largely to blame. Subsidies now account for about a quarter of the value of every fish caught. He says eliminating the estimated $20 billion in fishing subsidies would make global fishing sustainable. It would also ensure countries like China and India have fish to catch as they develop fleets of their own. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Here's some fodder for your Memorial Day cookout. Rumors are swirling that a Belgian company is interested in buying Anheuser-Busch, which of course makes Budweiser. The name of the company is InBev. They make Stella Artois. If Stella and Bud got together, the company would distribute a quarter of the world's beer. As it is, Anheuser-Busch controls almost half the U.S. market. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.